a Rayo Original Podcast.
So, Dame Denise Lewis, I think it's time to find out how old you really are. And we are joined now by Dr. Nicola Conlon, a scientist who can interpret these results.
Okay. Nicola, don't break my heart now, because I'm really excited.
Okay.
Sounds like we should have a drum roll.
The result is...
Welcome to another episode of What's My Age Again? I'm Catherine Ryan, and my guest today is Dame Denise Lewis. It's so good to have a dame and an Olympic gold winner on the episode today. For people who don't know, Denise won a gold in the heptathlon and, after retiring from sport, worked as a hugely successful sports pundit for the BBC. Now she's the president of UK Athletics, the queen of sport. So she's looking for the next generation of young winners. Denise has got four kids, one who came along by surprise when she was 46 years old, geriatric. She's now 52, but how old is her amazing body? We'll find out later on, as always, with Nicola Conlon, our resident scientist. Welcome, Denise.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm excited.
I don't ask much of people, just your blood.
You know how terrified I was having to do that? But it was painless.
Well, I think that you're probably tougher than most women.
Well, but I have hard skin.
Okay.
And so I didn't think the little needle would penetrate. But it did.
Do you do a lot of DIY?
Yeah, I'm just physical. I'm hands-on most things.
There you go.
Even though I can only just change my own tire last year.
Did you?
Yeah, with great difficulty.
Why?
Just because I'd never done it before.
Adaptability.
Woo!
You got to be able to do what it takes at any time.
That's what I think anyway.
Very wise. Okay, so are you scared about the results of the test? How are you feeling?
I feel that if it doesn't say, the tests don't confirm that I feel and am around 38,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to literally leave your studio.
Fine.
And be devastated.
We'll go together for a drink.
Yes, lots of drink.
Well, I'm actually shocked because, of course, I've seen you prancing round as a dame does, all over stage and screen, being a legend. And I know that you are in your 50s, but to see you here today, you look like a 1990s Kelly Rowland, an absolute teenager. Bills, bills, bills. I don't understand how you're in your 50s.
Because I just am. I'm 50 plus plus, turning 53 towards the end of the summer. And I actually feel amazing. I do.
Yeah. I mean, you're energetic. We'll get into it all. You had a surprise baby. I love that. It sounds very like Take a Break magazine.
I just woke up out of my bed and he was there.
Yeah. A surprise baby at 46. So like biologically so far, you sound like you would be very young. You're fertile into your 40s and you look great and you're glowing and you're athletic and you're changing tires. I think the show is done.
The show is done.
Why do we need to do the test?
Maybe that's helped me. I'm wondering whether it's the early life in sport has brought me to this age and this feeling. But I know that my mom has had, oh my God, you look young, for as many years as I can remember. She was like the big sister. And so I just wonder, and you probably can confirm this or your specialist person later on, whether it is all genetics or does lifestyle really impact your age and how you feel and your wellness and how much of that sort of mindset and positivity plays its part in it as well.
Well, we will hear from Nicola soon. I am personally far too drunk to answer those questions. But how old do you feel?
Today I feel quite sprightly. So I would say, I don't know, 38, between 38 and 42.
Yeah.
That feels good. I don't think about my age. I don't dread my birthdays. I look forward to it as a celebration of life and a gift. But there are days when, maybe it's the days when I've had too much gin the night before, where I don't feel great. But mostly I do feel really young. I have a young mindset. I'm actually waiting to grow up.
Yeah.
In my head. So maybe that Peter Pan whole feeling mentality is just part of who I am.
I suppose you're doing a lot of running around. You're in your 50s on the school run. How old is the youngest mom on the school run, would you say?
Oh, probably about 36.
Really?
Yeah, because remember, I'm four children in,
yeah.
And so my youngest is six. Yeah, and some of these women are first-time mm-hmm. moms, and so I'm just like, oof, wow, I'm really, I don't feel old because I, you know, I go there in my leggings and I feel good, and yeah. But I think the youngest must be about 36. That's a guess. I don't know for sure. But I do know there are other older moms
yeah.
doing that school run, which is fantastic that I'm not out of place
no.
anymore. It's there's a trend, I think, or has been for the last, I don't know, would you say decade maybe, where
yeah.
women are just sometimes choosing to have their babies later, but mm-hmm. or they haven't found a partner, so they've frozen their eggs. One of my friends froze her eggs and decided to go alone, and she's in her 40s.
Yeah.
And it just feels okay to do that, despite what the medical professions say. But that whole maturity in pregnancy and motherhood, you know, I do champion because I feel like I'm calmer.
Yeah.
Much calmer. And I'm not trying to rush through the whole milestones of parenting. Whereas when I had my younger children, I was just like, okay, let's get to the next one. Mm-hmm. Let's get to walking and let's get to school and let's become teenagers. And now I'm regretting those things because teenage life is hard. But
yeah.
I'm loving being a mom again.
How old were you then when you had your eldest?
I was turning 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was turning 30.
Isn't that amazing that you could be a new mother again after all those years and be
yeah.
such a different woman and really chill and enjoy those milestones? And I think how lucky for the baby, too, that he's got this society behind him. He's got these older brothers and a sister that's a bit like a mom.
Yeah.
So he's got the best of both worlds. He's got the young mom that's cracking the whip. And then he's got the older mom, like my youngest has, where I'm just like, do what you want.
Yeah.
Eat the marshmallows for breakfast. Did you have a big 50th birthday party?
I did.
Good.
Yeah.
What kind of party did you have?
The only party you can have mm-hmm. with music.
Nice.
Lots of drink, cocktails, DJ.
Celebrity guests?
A couple.
Nice.
You know, I love me some Beverly Knight, and
ooh.
Beverly was there. And it was just great just to celebrate. I hadn't been very well. Let me tell you this story. So I have some gut health issues, or I have had. And so I was told I needed a stent in my gallbladder duct. I was feeling very unwell just before my 50th. And I had to go to A&E. They were going to keep me in. The night before my birthday, I was sitting in this, you know, the reception with all these really sick people. And I'm lying there thinking, oh my goodness, this is not the way to start your 50th.
No.
It's not. I'm going to check myself out.
Did you think maybe this is just what 50 feels like?
I was determined to beat it.
Good.
So I discharged myself and got ready for my party. And bearing in mind, I was ill. My eyes were sort of yellow, so I had a bit of jaundice. My liver clearly wasn't functioning the way it ought to. And I said, I've paid for this venue. I've got all my friends and family coming. This is my moment to shine. I will not be beaten. So I partied the night away. And subsequently, as you can imagine, two
yeah.
days later, I was really unwell and had to go back in and spent 3 days in hospital. I had sepsis in one of my...
No!
Yes.
Denise.
I know.
I'm worried that your level of determination...
is risky.
Is very risky. I think only a firstborn daughter would behave this way.
Only an only child would do that.
Well, an only child is like a firstborn daughter times 10.
Yes.
And so you're dragging yourself
yeah.
in an open backless hospital gown. What a treat for everyone. To the party, ignoring the fact that you... Do you know that you can die from sepsis? Did anyone
yes.
explain to you that you're actually quite lucky to be alive?
Yeah.
But you just told your body, as an athlete does, you said... Just give it 3 days. I've paid for the venue.
That's it. I mean, the thing is, I know it was probably a bit reckless.
Yeah.
But sometimes you've just got to be determined to celebrate. And I knew that it wasn't life or death.
It was, though.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
I have to remind you. Yes,
yeah, I was on antibiotics intravenously for a couple of days. Correct.
Do you think that it's your background in elite sport that gives you the determination to just tell your body to wait, just to go, I've got this goal in front of me? Do you have mind over matter that way?
I think I do.
Yeah.
In fact, I must do. I know I do. It's, and I think it's something to celebrate. Oh, no?
I mean, as your mother, and I'm not, but I just am channeling Joan now. I think maybe these are toxic expectations that women, especially high achieving women, place on themselves. Like, good for me. It's something to celebrate. Really? Because...
Okay, yeah.
I think sepsis is really serious.
It is serious. Okay, so joking aside, I understand that, you know, sometimes, you know, I've always been this type of person to think, okay, be a strong woman. My mom was a strong woman. My grandmother was a strong woman. My great-grandmother was a strong woman. So I've been leaning into that sort of power. Yeah. And I know it doesn't always serve you well as an individual to, because people just let you be strong and they don't always help you, right? You know, they think, oh, well, she can cope with these things. Mm-hmm. But in this case, in the case of me being in hospital, I've not been in a great place mentally and clearly physically, but I just didn't want to be in hospital, waking up in hospital in that sexy gown and going, woohoo, this is 50.
Yeah.
It's not what I visualized for myself. And I was determined not to fall into that.
And it would be so difficult to undo 50 years of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
That's who you are. That's how every woman in your family has been. And as a public figure, too, you probably feel that it's important not to drop that mask too much, to be like, I'm strong, I'm powerful, this is what we do. But I think maybe women, you know, maybe now we're learning that our multitasking and our resiliency can sometimes be a detriment.
Yeah, and I really do talk about this in my book, and I know we're going to come on to that later, but it's a real important strand to recognize that when you are constantly being the caregiver and constantly feeding everyone else's needs, whether that be in your workplace or whether you're at home, in your personal life, in your interpersonal relationships, you forget to nourish yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my experience is that people will just let you take the load if you don't say, hello, stop, I need your help.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I haven't always been good at asking for help in my personal life, despite leaning into people's help to get me to the top of the podium, because you cannot do it on your own. But that translation of the work self and the private self, there was a bit of a gap, which I noticed. And my call is just, no, you have to ask for help. When you are not, when you start to spiral or you start to not feel like yourself, and I say the younger self where you felt light and free and able to reclaim your time, mm-hmm. that's a red flag.
And you know what? We haven't heard from Nicola yet, our resident scientist, and we will soon. But I know from speaking to Nicola before, I don't know how your results are going to pan out, but sometimes this hyper-independence does affect your biological age because it doesn't show. It doesn't show in your beautiful skin or your absolutely fantastic body. I could say that as a woman. I'm not a creep.
You are creepy.
But you look like you could run up flights of stairs and not be winded like me.
Maybe.
I've got cellulite and no athletic drive. But it does show sometimes in inflammation, taking all of that on.
Yeah, you're right. The cortisol levels rise and it manifests itself into ways. Yeah, I know that. I do know.
But who knows? I mean, who am I to say? Maybe it won't affect you just like this party. You know, you came out on the right side after a brief flirtation with sepsis. Didn't even notice it. You have written this book, Adaptability, which we have here on my desk. Thank you for the gift. It's about embracing change. Can you tell me more about it? What drew you to want to write a book like this?
Well, I guess it was the things that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. It's those changes in my life since winning my Olympic gold medal, all the different layers and bolt-ons that I've experienced being a mother, being a wife, and how I've had to sort of pivot. And I thought, there's so many tools I took away from being an elite sportswoman. How do those really help me in my everyday life mm-hmm. now that I don't have a coach telling me where to put my knee, where to go? How do I utilize that and keep myself invigorated, moving forward? And I've also looked at the mistakes that I've made, you know, mistakes in parenting. And I just felt I had really something to say at sort of 50 plus about that lens of mindset, how you overcome trauma, whether it's big T, little T trauma, how do you get through it? And it's only in those moments where you are in discomfort do you then think of your route map and that mindset that I kind of had as an athlete and maybe took for granted in a way, but had to use that again in order to get you through. We've talked about my mom, or mentioned my mom very briefly. I've looked at her journey as a single mom mm-hmm. growing up in Wolverhampton, and how the layer of having a young child out of wedlock brought these layers of shame to everything she did. She never wanted to talk about her age, because that association with her age and a daughter of a certain age, everyone would just go, aha, you've had her under 20. And she never wanted that association. But, you know, over the years, with a lot of work and a lot of conversation, which culminated in a TV show that I did with her called My Mom and Me, mm-hmm. we got to talk about things that we'd never really spoken about. And it got me thinking about my resilience, but particularly my mom, how she's had to progress through life and shake off this shame and been stuck, and how she also wish she did things differently. I'm going to be me, I'm going to do me, and I'm going to thrive and grow. And it's a happy tale, because yeah. she has got there and she's doing things that I never could conceive she would do. She's playing golf. She booked her own holiday and went off on her own recently. And okay. it felt like, you know, I'm the mom watching my child grow again and find that that freedom of just living and not really giving a toss what anyone else is thinking.
Because she wouldn't have had that opportunity when she was young.
No, she didn't. Yeah. And she wouldn't have. And so this all culminated in the book.
I think it's amazing that your mother's life, and of course all the ancestral women in your history, would have impacted you. But I love to believe that your successes and your resilience and how you've lived your life can also work backwards. I think women forget that you can impact your departed ancestors. You can change their story. You've changed your mother's story and emboldened her to live authentically and have that freedom without shame.
I love that.
It works both ways. And I think that can motivate a lot of women our age to go, hang on, I'm the first generation that was allowed to live my truth. I was able to have a mortgage without the signature of a man and have a bank account and have my own passport. And I think it does something to our living relatives and those who aren't with us anymore. I think some of the stuff I do is for my grandmother, because she was just a baby machine who didn't know where babies came from. She went in the hospital to deliver my uncle, and she thought her belly button was going to open up and the baby would walk out. And the doctor was like, I got some bad news.
This is a baby. Yeah.
So this is so important, I think, for women of our generation. But yeah, the idea of resilience and how it's changed, how it evolves. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Gen Z is missing that resilience?
I do, but they don't see it in the same way. And that's part of the learning of how do we bridge that gap where they think that, yeah, it's now, it's instant fix. It's how can I just be in the moment? Mm-hmm. And there's something to be admired by that. But at the same time, I do feel that there is a lacking in certain resilience.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that even with my own children. Yeah, it's just like the more I want to impart, the less productive I'm becoming. And so maybe from my side, and what I'm trying to do is let go and stand back a little bit more, because that seemingly, that failure piece is probably that missing link. because we are there all the time. We have this omnipresence as parents, or I know I have done, because I want to be the best parent, you know. And you're trying to do all of those things, and just maybe letting them work it out, letting them get bumps and bruises along the way is their learning.
Do you think it's difficult for them, especially your eldest daughter, having such a successful mom, that maybe they think, well, I can't grow beyond what my mother has achieved, so.
Yeah, I think that was a real issue for my daughter. So I had to learn to let her step into her own light. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you don't try to withhold their growth, but everyone else's lens on what she's supposed to look like, what she's supposed to be doing, and the enormity of, I guess, my career was just a bit heavy, a bit heavy for her. But, you know.
We'll find a million ways to feel guilty.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I was too beautiful and too successful as a parent. Oh, well. Are the children sporty?
That question, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they love sport. My daughter, as I said, she got turned off, possibly body image issues, lacking real confidence, but thinking she was really, really confident. So, but she's come back to that whole sporting journey, because it doesn't have to be. I think when people say sport, they think, you know, it's organized sport, but it's activity. It's sport on her terms. So she exercises. She likes to bike ride. She goes out. My sons were, one of them was in academy football. So he played at a really good level, but just hasn't got the same drive.
Yeah.
He's pretty laid back. That's okay. Really, it is okay. And my number three plays academy rugby.
Oh.
And he's quite gnarly. So he really loves getting down and dirty. He has high aspirations. So let's see. And little man Troy is, he's into Formula One, but I can't afford the karting. So I don't know how he's going to struggle.
He really believes in you. He's like, hang on, my mother is capable of anything. I'm going to pick the most expensive hobby.
There you go.
Oh, no.
I know.
So you'll never get to retire.
No, I'll be working to I lay down and rest.
A lot of very interesting women around the house. You'll be able to chase them down anyway.
I love you.
Do you think that growing up, being so structured and having a team around you that forced, you know, practice and action and all these, I don't even know sports language. I was going to say workouts, training. Do you know what I mean? I have heard from professional footballers, for example, who've said that that made them feel quite emotionally arrested because they didn't grow up like the rest of us. They didn't have their first drink in the same way, and they didn't make the same mistakes because they were on this rigorous path of coaching, and a lot of things were done for them or either very strictly set out. Did you feel that way?
No, because I guess football is quite different because it is really, you're in a team, you're having to sort of do that herd mentality thing. But no, I had to find my way out through and navigate the usual pitfalls of teenage life, which is, what do I look like? I love my sport, but I'm getting muscles and, do I fit into my jeans? And so there was all those normal, very normal childhood, except I kept coming back to, what's my passion? What do I love? Yes, I'm going to drink, but how much and to how many days a week? I'm not going to do that because I know that at the end of the week, I'm going to be competing. So I have to get myself there because I have this thing in the distance that I want to achieve. Yeah. And so it kept me, I worked out where my boundaries were.
So you had a lot of agency.
Yes.
Is that because you're in women's sport? They held your hand less.
Absolutely.
You were just like, this isn't going anywhere.
This isn't going anywhere. You're not going to get paid. You're not going to get a career out of this. But, you know, no, I just felt that it was what I wanted to do. And I had this calling and this vision of what I would like for myself. And it just happened to be sport. And I was good. But with an Olympic sport, there is no guarantees. With athletics, there are no guarantees you're going to make it. So it's the plotting, the navigating, the choosing, because this was all pre-lottery funding. Yeah. And so we weren't shepherded to places, you had to make those decisions for yourself.
And were you scouted because of how good you were, or were you drawn to athletics? And
drawn to athletics, but signposted by school teachers. Mm. There's always that one person, no matter what's, you know, what it is, whether it's drama, music, writing, you know, you always have a teacher that says, okay, I think you're better than you think you are.
No, none of mine.
No.
They were like,
what a shame.
Just get married as soon as you can.
Find that rich guy.
Yeah, never did. Never found him. Still looking if you know anyone. Do you think men age you? Because Joan, your mother, your aforementioned mother, was she always a single mom?
She looks incredible. Great. She does look incredible. She was always a single mom. Maybe you're right. Maybe the fact that she didn't have that significant other kept her fresh. I don't know.
Someone wrote to me the other day on social media, and they said that if you date problematic men or ugly men, it makes you ugly because you spend a lot of time crying and you get high cortisol. And also their DNA invades you if you are intimate with them, and you can even catch their allergies, and it can make you physically uglier. And I have been in a chokehold ever since by that news. I just didn't know if you'd heard the same, if people are sending you the same kind of DMs.
I'm going to see if I'm going to go slide into my phone after this and find out whether it's the case. I think men can age you.
Yeah.
Especially as you said, when it becomes toxic and it's not healthy, yes, yeah, they can drain the living daylights out, yeah, of you, because you lack sleep then, don't you? Yes, your headspace is just all about how can I be free of this person?
Yeah. And especially when you raise their children.
I was not talking about my husband.
Not your husband, but I'm just talking about me now. I just mean generally, I do think a lot of the mental load falls on women and mothers, and especially if you are a high performance, very successful working, yes, mother. Still in 2025, I think we're meant to work like we don't have kids and mother like we don't work. And we haven't worked that bit out yet.
We have not worked that bit out. And I know I didn't. And I was signposted to this book, Eve Rodsky, Fair Play, it's called. Oh my goodness, it was such a game changer for me, because I thought I was the only one operating at high speed, yeah, in my career, high speed at home, the invisible jobs that no one else can see. It's like, that is your underwear on, yeah, the floor that you've stepped over 10 times.
Yeah.
Why am I the only one to see that?
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, I felt like I was close to burnout at one stage, knowing all the things that I know and, you know, asking for help, but still that being ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, you have standards, you know, I have high standards, but I was thinking they're not that high that you can't see and hear my requests. And so reading that book for me was enlightening. And I remember just writing down a piece of paper, all of the invisible jobs that I did as a mother and as a wife. And
that would have been very bad for the environment, the use of paper.
It was just like,
the bin men must have been livid that week.
They were like, who? How many people live in this house? Yeah. You know? And I was staggered. I was, yeah, staggered by all the things you just do on autopilot, because that's what is expected, that mommy's going to take care of it.
Yeah. In addition to being mum and all of the other aforementioned things, you're now president of UK Athletics and Commonwealth Games England.
Commonwealth Games, I was, yeah, president of Commonwealth Games England. I am now UK, I can't even say it, I'm president of UK Athletics, which I'm just beside myself with, really. Mm-hmm. So Catherine, if you can imagine that 8-year-old girl walking into her first athletics club,
yeah,
and just being overawed by the stands, the people, the environment, that sense of community for myself, and then to know that I'm actually, I say, top of the tree with a lot of great team people around me, but, you know, president of that organization.
There's only one president. You're kind of the queen of sport.
Yeah, yeah, I'll take that.
But this is why I'm drawn to you, Denise. I think I've realized now that the more you enlighten me about individual sport, it's a lot like being a stand-up comedian, because,
yes,
you've got no band. You travel alone. The onus is really all on you. I'm going to call this book Adaptability, hashtag firstborn daughter.
Okay. What do you do? Because I know you are absolutely right. You know that,
yeah,
because there's no place for stage fright. There is, but you know that every night it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. You might miss a line here and there, but you know you'll get through and you will get applause at the end of it. Well, maybe.
I was in Doncaster the other week and there's an interactive section. I don't know if this has ever happened at the Olympics. Although I know Olympic Village gets a bit spicy.
Aye.
But there was a woman who sent me a text during the show on the projector that said her husband had been shagging her sister and she caught him on OnlyFans because she recognized his tattoo and her sister's kitchen. And he didn't know that she was aware, but she was calling him out in front of the whole audience on the projector. And then he ran out of the room. I had to get security to follow him to make sure he wasn't kicking off in a kebab shop down the road. So yeah,
it's intense.
I had to be very adaptable in that moment.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah.
That's intense.
I know. So, I mean, I my heart rate, you know, I felt a bit like an athlete at
that
time.
Did you breathe?
Yes.
Center yourself?
I did.
Yeah. You stopped yourself from laughing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I got quite scared actually, because now we think about safety.
Yes.
And, you know, legalities. I thought, is this woman safe now that she's revealed that it was quite, it was a lot. But I credit, you know, some of my resilience and the skills. You know, we're not dissimilar is what I'm saying.
I feel that.
Yeah. Have you had a similar experience at the Olympics?
I've heard some interesting sounds coming from bedrooms.
I thought so. I've heard that about Olympic Village.
And I'm thinking, do I recognize that scream? That sounds like so-and-so from the hurdles.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's always so-and-so from the hurdles.
What's she doing? Taking off, taking flight in the middle of the night.
Well, you're all very fit, very young.
A lot of hormones flying about.
It makes sense. Yeah. Let's talk about hormones, because one of the things that Nicola likes to look at when it comes mm-hmm. to glycolic and biological age is estrogen. And I know that menopause or perimenopause can be a big factor in biological aging. Now, obviously, you're very fertile into your late 40s, but is that something going on with your friends? How do you approach that?
There is so much information mm-hmm. about perimenopause, isn't there? Which I think is a great thing.
Yeah, just recently there's information.
Mm-hmm. Recently. I mean, again, my mom, I've watched my mom dripping in sweat for many, many years. And, you know, she's like, oh, you need to get on your whatever products you're going to have. Take them earlier. Take them sooner rather than later. You know, so
She knew about perimenopause.
Well, eventually, I mean, she did eventually. I mean, my mom suffered, I think, from endometriosis. Oh. So she was in agony as when I was a child, you know, vomiting, looking ashen for maybe 2 weeks of every month for as long as I can remember. So she possibly should have had a hysterectomy earlier. But so her menopause, I think, came on quite early.
Okay.
And so she was these beads of sweat. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this terrifying thing that's coming my way that we can't avoid? Mm-hmm. But she was always adamant she wanted to do alternative, taking an alternative approach to mm-hmm. her peri and menopause. Not much help from the doctors, sadly, back then, you know, maybe 20 years ago, 10 years ago. Even.
They'd look in an old textbook and be like, oh, your vagina's haunted.
Yeah.
See you later. My vagina's been ghosted, not haunted.
It's been ghosted, haunted. They both work. Oh, gosh, that's classic. Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to share this with my girlfriend.
Sorry, I can't stop
it. I love it.
Even when I'm speaking to a dame, this is why I'm not allowed in Buckingham Palace anymore.
But seriously, I've been waiting for this thing to kind of consume me.
Yeah.
And I remember actually, I think it was 51, I was in the kitchen tidying up as I often do because that's my therapy. And I had this searing heat just take over my face. I was like, oh, what was that? Move on. 10 minutes later, another surge of heat. I was like, oh, it's happening. It's it. I'm in it.
You didn't think pregnant again.
Not this time.
Okay.
I was like, okay. Oh gosh, maybe I'm there. And then it totally disappeared for another 2 years. And I've been doing all right so far. I'd say about a month ago, I was living in my own personal Sahara desert. It was just hot.
Yeah.
Every day was just hot. And I thought, what am I going to do with myself? I've been trying to hold out for medication. I know all the sort of hormones, menopause, people are going, no, get that patch, get those creams, get on it.
I love Joan. And I think there is something to be said for natural therapies because there are drawbacks. I think HRT is wonderful, but I have read that, you have to be your own advocate and That's know right. your body. There are risks associated with taking like pseudo estrogen or whatever it's called.
I'm okay with it. I know we've got to go through it, but so far I feel really quite good. The heat was a concern, but I kind of tell myself, well, you sweat in the gym, you just got to keep going. Just keep pushing through it, Denise.
Get to take fewer holidays abroad.
Let's go somewhere cold.
Yeah, you can have Mauritius in the kitchen. I feel like you've probably beaten perimenopause, like sepsis. I think it's probably not going to touch you.
Do you think so?
I think so, if anyone can. I think 100 years from now, you'll still be alive, a very beautiful, partial corpse, just looking hot forever.
Could you imagine if that really happens, that this is as bad as it gets? People will hate me.
What do you do like to deal with the physical signs of aging? I don't know if you're familiar with any of these yet, but some people do Botox. You know, they try to look young. Of course, this is about your glycolic biological age, but do you do any of that?
No, I don't do Botox.
God. You haven't had a facelift?
No.
Leg implants?
No.
Do you have any metal rods from the injuries? Nothing?
No.
Pacemaker?
No pacemaker. Damn. No. Fine. Nothing down there either. No tidying up.
No rejuvenation.
No rejuvenation down there.
Do you wax?
Yes, but I'm not very hairy.
No.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's well for who?
Somebody. Someone's going to benefit.
Do you use creams? Do you brush your teeth?
I do. I brush my teeth. I floss. I take collagen. There you go. I love my Q10. Coenzyme, vitamin C.
Lovely. And you eat
selenium.
Well. Ooh, selenium. That one stinks in the cupboard, though.
But you're supposed to close the packet.
I just use it like a pick and mix. I just leave it loose.
Leave it loose.
With the raisins. Well, you look amazing.
Hydration. I've been creaming from birth. Look at how shiny my skin is.
No.
Shiny.
I can't.
Did you cream as a child? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but sun cream I always needed because I'm very Celtic.
Yeah.
But I didn't do, you know, the beautiful cultural cocoa butter. Is that what you mean?
Yes, because you know, like my community of Black women and beyond, we cream from birth. You know, we're basing ourselves with all sorts of moisturizers.
But you don't even have to.
I do. I'm dry.
That's okay.
I'm naturally dry. But anyway, I do feel great. Hydration is a must.
And then how strict are you with diet and exercise? Do you indulge in the champagne once in a while? Or are you?
I like gin.
Nice.
Yeah, I like gin. I like champagne too, but not as often as I guess some people.
Denise, I've had so much fun with you. I think it's time to find out your biological age.
Let me have it.
So, Dame Denise Lewis, I think it's time to find out how old you really are. And we are joined now by Dr. Nicola Conlon, a scientist who can interpret these results.
Okay. Nicola, don't break my heart now because I'm really excited.
Okay.
I feel like we should have a drum roll.
The result is 59 years old.
Stop it.
7 years older than your biological age.
I'm gone.
Oh, Denise, stay with us.
No, I'm not going to deal with that.
But we'll find out why. We'll find out why. Because the glycan age test, it really does focus on inflammation. And you're a very sporty gal.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of kids. And you're a high-performance firstborn daughter. So, Nicola, make it make sense.
Can I just say, so I've got a lot of kids. So you're telling me that kids really do age you. I should have just gone for the one. That's what you're saying. Oh my goodness. I'm devastated.
So I think, first of all, Don't be alarmed. Okay. Definitely don't be alarmed. So this test, this glycan age test that we're talking about, it measures a very small part of how you're predicted to age. So as Catherine said, it's looking really at inflammation. And the reason as well, you know, there are lots of other ways to measure this, but the reason that I do say don't be alarmed by it is this is really, really common for what we see for a woman in her 50s. We see this bump literally that happens in biological age. And I bet you can guess what we're going to say it's all about. It's our hormones. And, you know, this is just a fact that happens to women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really doesn't matter, even with the best lifestyle in the world, we see this sudden bump. And for a long time, you know, women have been saying, you know, I suddenly feel like I've hit a wall, like I feel older. You know, I can't put a finger on what it is, but I really feel older. Mm-hmm. And now for the first time, now that we're actually starting to actually do research on women and our hormones, mm-hmm. what we know is that actually during this time, as our hormones start to change, on average, a woman's biological age will increase by 9 years. Over this period.
Wow.
Now, that's average. So you're even you're below average for this. But
that's
some,
a win, people.
It is
that's
a win. No, it literally in some women in these studies, we see their biological age go up by 20 years.
Wow.
And, you know, although that sounds alarming, but, you know, for us in the scientific community, we are like, there is a scientific reason now why women feel like this, why it should be recognized, and why it makes it even more important that, you know, you're talking about this adaptability and all of the things that you can be doing to support women in this phase of their lives. Because not only are we parents, we are caregivers to elderly parents, we are have our families, we have husbands, we have partners, we have a height of our career for a lot of women. And for a long time, we've just been told, well, you know, just sort of roll your sleeves up and get on with it. This is what happens. But now we know that in our bodies, there's, you know, our bodies behind the scenes are actually struggling a bit. Mm. So what can we do to support that? And how can we take this information and actually use it to support women through this period of life, which can be really difficult? Now, you know, you are lucky because you said, you know, you seem to be going through this phase. You've had it, maybe it's a few hot flushes, but nothing major. And we do see that some women do just go through it without anything, but it still is, there is something going on,
yeah,
you know, underneath the surface.
So we can't be stretched, aren't we? I would say as women at this age. I mean, you talked about, you know, aging parents, yeah, and the children, so much going on in the schools these days, more than ever. You know, it's literally death by emails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just last minute emails as well.
Last minute emails, well booked day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the stress of having to find enough. But joking aside, but you do feel like you're constantly on. And yeah, my thing is to try and take some of that heat out of yourself. So finding low level activities to do. Why I've increased yoga, that's part of my fitness regime now. Those moments where you can really be just still.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether there's anything we can physically do, but would that be something you would advocate just to find time,
yeah, like
more time,
a period of recovery?
Yeah,
because it is reversible, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was listening earlier to you. You asked a question about whether this was genetic or lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And we know that genes do play a role. So you can have, you know, what we call super centenarian genes, which are these genes that help you live really long life and good health. And some people do have a genetic element which predisposes them to, you know, when, you know, say someone looks good for their age and what they do. And sometimes it is genetic, but it's actually only around 20% that is influenced by our genes. The other 80% is lifestyle, which is exactly why it's so important that we're having these conversations. I know you spoke earlier about being, you know, resilient and learning about resilience and having the right mindset and positive thinking. All of those things, again, we're now seeing all the studies and data coming through that people who are optimistic, who are resilient, who have a, you know, a good mindset with a strong purpose in life, they actually have lower biological ages. So, and the other thing I wanted to say was, you, I can see it in the data that you practice what you preach. Because when we're looking at biological age, we don't just measure, it's not just one thing. There's a lot of things that make it up. And part of this, we can actually see how your lifestyle, how well your lifestyle is playing a role here. Mm-hmm. And you actually scored in the top 1% for lifestyle. Like you can't get any better. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're doing and everything that you are practicing in terms of lifestyle, you know, you're absolutely killing it. So it's amazing that you've put this into a book that other women can now follow.
I'm also in the 1%, bottom 1%.
Sorry.
So we're both high achieving.
We're both high, yeah. High achieving. Really.
Just 1%. And yeah. Do you think, Nicola, that this estrogen, I think you've described it to me before, is it directly impacts inflammation, which is a big part of what the test. Once that all levels out, would you see that age come down?
Yes. So the estrogen, basically, for a long time, it's just been thought of as a fertility hormone. Yeah. And that's it. You know, who needs it anymore? If you pass childbearing age, who cares? But actually, what we know is estrogen is very, very protective in the body. So in a woman's body, it keeps inflammation under control. Mm-hmm. So as estrogen starts to drop, we naturally see inflammation start to go up, which can be quite damaging on the inside to our cells. And this is what this type of test measures. It measures the sort of damage on your cells. So first of all, inflammation. Secondly, it's also involved in things like energy production. So people don't realize that estrogen literally helps take the food we eat and convert it into the energy that we need to function. Yeah. So all of a sudden, the estrogen goes down. We're not producing the same amount of energy from the same amount of food we've always eaten. We start to feel tiredness. We get brain fog. You know, one of the most common symptoms. And again, this is a lot to do with the role of estrogen in energy production. So now we're really understanding that this is really not just about fertility. And, you know, your lifestyle is clearly looking at the questionnaire and also the results. You know, you are doing everything right. You're getting good sleep. You're doing good diet, exercise. You're looking at things like more stress reduction, yoga. Everything's there. The one thing that we do see that does completely reverse this is hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
So in those studies where we look at the people who have had a real big increase in biological age, this was completely reversed by hormone replacement. So it, you know, I don't know if you've ever had your hormones measured or anything like that, but it might be worth having a little look into that and just see where you're kind of at and just monitor it, really.
Yeah, that's good advice, actually, because I've been toying with it. You've got to have at least a template. You have to know where you're at. And so that could be something I will do from this conversation is just see where my hormones are at, where my levels are.
Especially if you're still operating at the level that you've been operating for your whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that you don't do less just because the estrogen's getting lower. Mm. And so can you get estrogen from like yams?
Yeah, there's some foods that, you know, say they promote, but really it's not enough. When estrogen drops as we get older, it's a drastic drop.
Yeah.
And the drop can happen quite quickly. So in that study I said about a woman's biological age increasing by 9 years, that was measured over a 6-month period between going from like sort of perimenopause into full menopause. So that's, if you think that's a huge change. And that's why, you know, often some women just suddenly go, whoa, like I've been floored. Something it's just hit me. So it's always a good idea to look at it. You know, our bodies are made to function with high levels of estrogen. Technically, it's like having a deficiency.
Mm-hmm. And the Dame did have a few hot months, you described.
And the Dame has a little bit of brain fog, but it fluctuates.
Yeah.
You know,
so this, and you're probably comparing yourself to most people, and then your brain fog is still head and shoulders above them. So it's hard to
imagine. You know, when I was doing live television, you're thinking it's not good when you can't remember anybody's name, is it? It's not cool.
I've known people on the school run 10 years, and it's too late to ask. I think. I don't know you.
Who are you?
You're Theo's mom to me.
I think my biggest fear, Nicola, is you know, once I start, if I have to, and it sounds to me that I ought to investigate my estrogen levels, once you start tweaking with the body's natural hormonal state. Is there a danger that you don't find that balance again, that you're just constantly like turning buttons to try and tune into yourself? Because I've had people that have been on and off different, whether it's progesterone or testosterone, whatever it might be, it's working, it's not working. It's working, it's not working, that scenario.
It's something that's very personalized. You know, everyone is different and everyone will need different levels of different hormones, because that's just naturally, we are all different. And it's, you know, it's not just estrogen, it's your progesterone, it's your testosterone. It's the way they're all working together. So this is why it is almost important to understand what's normal for you. So kind of what your mum said about learning earlier rather than later, so that you can get a snapshot of, okay, when I'm feeling good, which you are now, this is what my hormones are. So then if you suddenly start feeling not so good, it's like, okay, let's try and just get them back to where I felt good, you know, because you kind of know how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what's important for the hormones is a lot of people, you know, say, well, they're declining and, you know, it must be a reason why, and, you know, just accept it and embrace it. But if you think it, as humans, like, we are living a lot longer, you know? So even only a couple of hundred years ago, women were, you know, dying in childbirth still. We weren't living much past our 50s. But now we are. The average life expectancy for a woman in the UK is 83 years old. And that means we're spending a significant part of our lives without the hormones that our body is used to and actually needs. So, you know, it is, whilst it, you know, it has been for a while almost like a taboo to like think, oh, I've got to go on HRT or I need to optimize my hormones. It's really not. It's about how can we live this period of our lives in really good health and actually, you know, be living well into our 80s, feeling amazing, as you're saying that you're feeling now. That's like, why would we not want to keep this going? And now all the studies are showing that it's really important to optimize our hormones to help. It's not about fertility. It's about our health. It's about keeping healthy for longer and maintaining the health of the female body. So, yeah.
I love this. You know, all the, you know, more work on women's, research on women and women's bodies. You know, we've been talking about that in sport as well. What more can we still learn to optimize our physicality within sports? You know, when you are pushing yourself to the max and you're operating just at that max level all the time, it's got to, you know, come at a price somewhere along the line if you're not getting the right feedback and information about what's going on.
Exactly that. And we see that in elite female athletes. We see that they have a higher biological age because of the impact that that high level of intense training has on their cycles and their hormones. So,
and it doesn't affect elite athletes as much when they're men.
No, it doesn't.
Is that because evolutionarily there have been like elite female athletes for less time? It's not because it's not us who started it. God is the one who started messing with these dials and we're just responding.
Yeah.
We didn't ask for this.
No, you're right. I mean, it's not that long ago that women couldn't triple jump.
Yeah.
You know, we know about the marathon, pole vault, all those events, steeplechase. I'm just talking in athletics here. You know, all the events that we couldn't deemed you shouldn't do, you mustn't do because our physiological body can't cope.
And very few elite male athletes have had four babies in addition to competing.
And, you know, as well, the fact that you've had your last child older.
Yeah.
That shows that the length of fertility is also very positive of how well you will age. So, yeah.
Didn't they say if you have babies over 40, then you'll live to be 100?
Yeah, so the age at which you, not that exact stat.
Good.
She just made that up.
Good, because I'm too tired.
You just made it.
No, what we know is that the older that you are when you have your last child, the better effect it has on biological age.
Oh, I know.
So people that have a child older generally live longer and healthier.
Someone has got to clean the school uniform. That's why. We just pull through. Well, I don't think it's bad news, Denise. I think that taking everything into consideration, being an elite athlete and having these little bouts with perhaps perimenopausal heat, Nicola said average, that increases your biological age temporarily because it is reversible by 9 years and yours has only gone up 7. And also stress impacts it too.
Yeah.
If you took the test at a very busy time as queen of sport, president of UK Athletics, then, you know, you're living the right lifestyle. I think it's very positive news.
I think it's positive news. Okay. So again, that refreshing, like I always try to pick a challenge each year, just something. Last year it was running up 89 flights of stairs. Yeah, for charity.
What was up there?
Beautiful views, Sky Gardens.
Wow.
So, you know, in the city, you know, that big tall building. That was one of them. I take on rowing or cycling challenges. So I try to do something just to either shock myself or push myself.
Yeah.
I think that's quite a healthy thing to do. Stepping out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, pushing yourself out of the comfort zone, having, again, that thing of having purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting up every day. Obviously, you have a lot of purpose in your life with your kids, but just something for yourself, like your own personal challenges. Again, exercise in moderation, high intensity.
Yes.
We know high intensity interval training reverses biological age. And again, this seems to have although women seem to get the short straw where everything seems to increase ours. Also, the things that are beneficial also seem to be more beneficial in women. So exercise seems to reverse biological age in women more than men. So we kind of go to the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, having challenges, everything that you're doing seems, you know, to be really, really everything I would advise. You're already doing it.
That's great to hear because, you know, some people, Catherine, close your ears, some people really don't value the exercise piece in all of this. But I do try to encourage young girls, you know, that are going through the body changing and just find something that you enjoy. Even if it's build on the walking, walk with friends, do something because it is, you know, it's a gift for life, I think.
I love what you do. I think you're so inspirational. I think having a female president, a dame of sport, UK Athletics, is great. I look forward to the change in this country and worldwide where more women are getting involved in athletics. I think it's good for mental health, biological age, all these different things. Just because I missed out doesn't mean I don't recognize the genius of it. And I'm grateful for my own children. So thank you for being inspirational. You know, this book is helping me even though I can barely walk. So I appreciate it.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you so much to Dame Denise Lewis for joining us on What's My Age Again. Denise has written a heartfelt, brilliant book called Adaptability, which gives great advice on how to thrive when you're juggling a million things. Do buy it for your mom, your partner, your daughter, or yourself. Thanks for listening and watching What's My Age Again. There's more content on our social pages, so please have a look there too.
A Rayo Original Podcast.